Amen. Well, that's something to think about, isn't it? That was Handel's Messiah. Let's see. We won't keep it on that, but that was something that's very sobering to listen to, actually. Let's see. How about this one?
Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear him say. And when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye. My everlasting King above will all my needs supply. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. For Jesus has lifted my load.
Amen. How about this one here?
Conquering now and still to conquer, rideth the King in his might, leading the host of all the faithful into the midst of the fight. See them with courage advancing, clad in their brilliant array, shouting the name of their leader, hear them exultingly say. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through grace. Conquering now and still to conquer, who is this wonderful King? Whence are the armies which he leadeth, while of his glory they sing? He is our Lord and Redeemer, Savior and Monarch divine. They are the stars that forever bright in his kingdom will shine. Conquering now and still to conquer, Jesus, thou ruler of all. Thrones and their scepters all shall perish, crowns and their splendor shall fall. Yet shall the army thou leadest, faithful and true to the last, find in thy mansions eternal rest when their warfare is past. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true and the faithful, victory is promised through the race. Not to the strong is the battle, not to the swift is the race, yet to the true.
Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know, that over overcomes the world.
Faith.
Faith is the victory.
Faith.
Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. His banner over us is love, our sword, the word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph trod. By faith they like a whirlwind's breath swept on o'er every field. The faith by which they conquer death is still our shining shield.
Faith.
Faith is the victory.
Faith.
Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. On every hand the foe we find drawn up in dread array. Let tents of ease be left behind and onward to the fray. Salvation's helmet on each head with truth all gird about. The earth shall tremble neath our tread and echo with our shout.
Faith.
Faith is the victory.
Faith.
Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. To him who overcomes the foe, white raiment shall be given. Before the angels he shall know his name confessed in heaven. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love aflame, will vanquish all the host of night in Jesus' conquering name.
Faith.
Faith is the victory.
Faith.
Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing
and you'll be happy today.
Be happy, press on to the goal. Trust
in him who leadeth the way.
You.
He is keeping your soul.
Keep your soul.
Let the world know where you belong.
Be faithful. Look
to Jesus and pray.
Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Often we are troubled and tired, sick with sorrow and pain. There are others living in sin, blessed with earthly gain. Take new courage, we cannot tell what the morrow may bring. When the dark clouds vanish away, then your heart truly can sing.
Sing and you'll be happy today.
Be happy, press on
to the goal.
Trust
in him who leadeth the
way.
He is keeping your soul.
Keep your soul.
Let the world know where you belong.
Be faithful.
Look to Jesus and pray.
Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky. When it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold.
Sing and you'll
and
be happy today.
Be happy, press
along
on to the goal. Trust
in him who leadeth the
who
way.
Leads you.
He is keeping
will
your soul.
Keep your soul.
Let the world know where you
be
belong.
Be faithful.
Look to Jesus and pray.
Him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today.
Amen. Sing and be happy today.
We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Jesus, come and join us in the fight. We're marching against Satan, and we're standing for what's right. We won't desert nor surrender. We are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood-washed, born-again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Amen and amen. Beneath the cleansing flood. That's right. Victory in Jesus. That's where victory comes from. It comes from Christ alone. It comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Victory comes through the Lord. Amen. A victory comes through grace. And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about that endurance, that Christian endurance, and where it comes from exactly. And that our endurance comes from God. That's where it comes from. As a Christian, your endurance will come from the Lord. It has to come from the Lord, because if it doesn't, you'll be finished. You'll be burned out and you'll be done. Victory comes from the Lord. That's where it comes from. And strength comes from the Lord. Endurance comes from the Lord. That enduring power of the Holy Ghost, it comes from God Almighty. We can't get it in our own flesh. It won't come that way. We can't be strengthened like that as Christians. The Bible says our outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Daily, the inward man is renewed. So, you know, these are trying times that we live in, and they're trying times. They're busy times for us. I would ask you to continue to pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord. And as we continue to preach the gospel week in and week out, you know, we've got another 2 weeks of preaching. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week. And then also, if you'd keep me in prayer also, I've got the preaching of in the assembly. And, you know, that I preach to the saints of God and try to strengthen them and fulfill the duties of a pastor in that. And also, preaching to you online and doing a couple broadcasts a week online. and trying to feed you online and to be a blessing to you out there. So there's a lot of work. It's a lot, and it's not really physical. Some of that has to do with it. But it's also the spiritual draining and the opposition of Satan and the opposition of the enemies of the cross, the opposition of the enemies of this church and of the enemies of the gospel ministry, and just and Satan attacking the spiritual and the weariness that can come from some of that. And there's a lot to it. It's not a game. It's not an audition. It's not, you know, a job in that sense. It's not a job that I go and I go work 40 to 50 hours a week. And I'm not putting that down. That's a blessing that we have men that work 60 to 70 hours a week. But when it's spiritual, when it's the Lord's work, there are very unusual and peculiar trials and temptations that come. Even the men that work full-time jobs in our church, and which are all of them that work, and they have that increased spiritual pressure. And as a pastor, I'm going to take it right on the chin with most of it. And I don't share all the satanic attacks and the things that I go through, because I don't want to. God has made it so I go to him with those things and I don't go to people with those things. Because really, I'll tell you, it could really affect the flock, the other men in the church and the people and the assembly. You know, God has made it so I go to him with that, and I do, and peculiar attacks come when we turn it up. You know, peculiar things happen. There's battles that take place, and there's blessings also the Lord that go along with that, but there's also an increased amount of real strong spiritual warfare, not the cartoon that we joke around with the charismatics. I mean, this is, it gets intense, and Satan's attacks can be intense on the mind and the heart. And there's a weariness that can come with that we have to be strengthened in all might in the inner man. And God gives grace to get through it. And it may be sometime I need to take a break, you know, from broadcasting and things like that. But I try not to do that because I need a regular schedule for my brains to operate correctly too, which is a challenge anyway. But anyway, so there's a lot of things that go along with that. The trials, the peculiar trials and challenges that come with that. So I definitely need the prayers, and, you know, I probably need some more sleep even. I slept a lot yesterday. I woke up at 5:50 in the morning, and I'm not going to get into why that happened. It was spiritual, but I woke up at 5:50 in the morning, and boy, I just got to Bible reading right away and praying, like, right when my eyes opened. Because I knew that, oh man, but all I can tell you is that God showed up right there in that bed at 5:50 in the morning and fed my soul and gave me what I needed to get through that at that time. God is there for his children. And, you know, the struggles that we have and the trials that we have are nothing in comparison to the grace that is given through those trials. Man, I made it too cold in here. I think it's cold. But anyway, it's nothing. God's grace is greater. I'm going to show you that in the scriptures here today about that. So, but I, you know, 5:50 in the morning, I needed the Lord. I needed to hear from God. And He's never failed me. God has never failed me. God has always been there for me to strengthen me and to keep me in all my ways that he has called me to go in. And even though it's hard and it's difficult at times, it can be. I understand the struggle that people have. Ever since the Lord gave me the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. You know, as God allowed those things to happen, it's been challenging. And it will be from here on out. It's always been challenging. You know, but those things are, you know, an even greater challenge. But God did it for a reason. The Lord did it to humble me. You know, the Lord did it to lest I should be exalted above measure. Right? So the Lord did that to teach me. And that's why God does those things sometimes. He allows those things to happen. We're talking about that on Sunday, Christian suffering. And the challenges. And Christ's sufferings first. We talked about that Sunday, and we didn't get that finished. I was an hour into that and had to stop. But that's okay. We'll pick it up a little over an hour into that. We'll pick it up again and on Sunday morning, Lord willing, and continue on in that. You know, it's funny, the unique and trying times that God allows. And you know, it's funny, some of the same things that I'm preaching on, God allows me to go through for his grace to be tried in my life, and for me to be tried, but his grace to be proved in my life, that I would believe God above all else. And when I tell people those things, I tell them, you know what, we got to believe God. You got to believe God. I mean it because I go through it, because I'm challenged by it. You know, that in different areas, you know, of my life and in my mind and heart at times. So anyway, I don't say that from an abstract point of view. You know, I say that from experience, from the Word of God as the authority, and also from experience. You know, from dealing with those things. So there are those trials and challenges that we face, and God's grace is greater. And we'll look at that here today. And, you know, be able to, you know, go through the scriptures and look at some of these things and be encouraged. Now, I just uploaded a new sermon to YouTube last night, or yesterday sometime, from Satanic Darkness to Gospel Light. That was from last Wednesday. So you can watch that if you haven't watched it yet on Sermon Audio. Many times the newest sermons are on Sermon Audio first, and then they get put on YouTube. Right now, we'll probably be behind on some things just because we're a little busy right now. So, you know, we'll see what happens with all of that and everything like that. But anyway, so, and I'll have to probably preach a little less on the street and let the guys preach a little more, which I do. I let them preach. We're out there for hours, but I'm probably going to have to let them preach some more. Just so my voice doesn't wear out, you know, doing 4 hours of broadcast here, and then, you know, three sermons a week, and then preaching on the streets, a lot going on there with that. So I'll probably have to, do a little bit of that this week coming up here. but we'll give those guys a good opportunity to keep preaching out there get done, amen, out there. So 7,500 tracts handed out, praise the Lord for that. What a blessing that has been. Here's the thing. Not everybody is going to preach, out on the streets. Not every man is going to preach on the streets. But every man can go out and hand out tracts. Every man. Every man can hand out tracts out there, so we like to see, sometime I really wish I could get some of our listeners, our men that are listeners, I wish they could come and visit during the Defeat of Jesse James days. Steve asked, Cornell asks, Pastor, when will you be street preaching at the fair? We'll be at the fair Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday, we'll be there from 5 p.m., probably somewhere around 5. I don't know, 4 or 5. We'll be there. And all the way into the night, obviously, till probably like 9 or 10. Usually we get there around 4 and we leave about 9 or 10, something like that. I think about 9. Usually about 9. Because we try to grab something to eat on the way home because we're all starving from being out there standing and preaching for 70 hours. Sometimes you can bring snacks, but it's hard to eat when there's people around you. Just doesn't work very easy. Plus, we take that time to kind of decompress with each other after we're done, not just to go right home because your brains are all over the place when you're under that much pressure during that time period. Let's see. So we have that. And then Saturday, usually we'll get there around, maybe 2 or 3 o'clock, I'm guessing, somewhere around 2 or 3. We'll get there, and then we stay till about 9 o'clock again, 8, 9 o'clock. So we're there 5 or 6 hours each time. And then Sunday, in the afternoon, right after lunch, we eat lunch together, and then we take off and go up there and preach. So that's where we'll be at this weekend. So if anybody's looking to stalk me, I guess you have my schedule now. You know where I'm at. I'm not hard to find. I'm right there. So you can skip the crazy emails and the crazy messages and all kinds of other crazy things, and you could just see me there and be crazy there, like the one guy was that looked at me and falsely accused me. I don't even know the guy, but he's tried to harass me before. There's all that that goes on too. Isn't that fun? That's where I'll be. So everybody knows, I've never been hard to find anyway, but so you pray for us with all those things that take place, that God would be honored and glorified, that we would be strengthened, that God would use this time in our lives and this ministry to help others, to be an encouragement to others. And I appreciate the prayers. I really do. And then next week, Defeat of Jesse James days. That is, to me, I'm going to need some rest. That's one of the most... That Defeat of Jesse James days is probably one of the most spiritually oppressive and exhausting outings that we have, literally. And I'm not exaggerating. It gets pretty rough. I joke and I say that's when Northfield's favorite son, me. Northfield's favorite son. They love me. Oh, man. I'm home. Oh, that's when Northfield's favorite son comes with 15 of his best friends. Oh, man. Oh. The cops love us. The hoodlums love us. The drunks love us. The shop owners love us. So I'm preparing myself for the cops to let the sinners drown us out again and not do anything about it. Let them play radios. And then we get to play, well, I'm going to give you a ticket and I get to play. Okay, you give me a ticket and I'm going to court with you because I'm not letting you or them shut me down. So I'm gearing up and ready for that. So if they hear it now, they can know if you let them shut me down, I'm cranking that thing up. You better believe it. I ain't burning my voice out all weekend while you let those hoodlums crank up their stereos, dance around, write sexual things on the sidewalk, and expect me just to sit there like I'm some helpless little baby in the corner there while you go ahead and let them do whatever they want. I'm just here to put you on notice that that ain't happening, Jack. I'm bringing that hailer with me, and if they drown me out, well, I'll see you in court, buddy. I'll see you in court. And that goes for the chief of police and every other chief and every other person that's there. Shop owners and all of them. I will not have that trampled and our God-given rights by God, recognized by the Constitution. I will not have them trampled by a bunch of little satanic hoodlums and a bunch of little pedophiles and everybody else that are running their little ring there. It ain't happening. I'm going to tell you that right now. Not by the LGBTQ people and not by any of them. You want your constitutional showdown? You'll get it. Because I'm not doing that. And I'm not burning my voice out either while you scare me with your little ticket. Sounds good. Let's do it. That's what I got to say about it. Somebody said to me today, "Oh, you're kind of feisty. You're kind of feisty." Well, you can call it whatever you want to. I don't care what you call it. But I ain't going to roll over and die for a bunch of devils that want to shut my mouth. Way I see it. I'm just getting it all ready now so we can just have all the ground rules there. They drown us out, I'm cranking it up. You give me the ticket, I'll see you in court. Because don't think I'm not going to have my guys recording you allowing those heathens to run their garbage and keep and run their stuff and drown us out. Heckler's vetoes don't work. And I would love to do that, Northfield. Love to go to court with you, with the city. Love to do it. Fine, let's do it. Let's do it. Fine, no problem. We'll raise the money. We'll go to court. We'll get the attorney and we'll do it. Before I let a bunch of sodomites and LGBTQ devil worshiping people and the groups of North and the community of Northfield that funds it, before I let them do that, you better believe it. If we lose, then we lose. But you know something? They're gonna know they got the fight they wanted in court. That's what I got to say about it. And I mean it, too. I am not joking. I am dead serious. Before I let a bunch of perverts shut me down and shut me up, let's do it. I wasn't even planning on talking about that. Now I'm getting excited. I ain't even tired anymore. They let those LGBTQ people, they let all those people draw perverted things on the sidewalk, all that garbage. And then they try to shut us down. They let them run. They had the most wicked, vile, disgusting, perverted music you could ever. And I'm not kidding you. I used to listen to everything you can imagine. I listened to it all. But that explicit language in that music, that fornication in song, I'm telling you, I got young people that watch, that listen and watch, so I'm not going to get explicit. But how they described every single detail to a T, and you're going to let them run that radio there, and you think you're going to shut me up? Really? You're going to let them run that filth there? That nasty, perverted, filthy, disgusting stuff? Absolutely obscene and vile and perverted? And you think you're going to shut me down? Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll take your ticket. I'll take it. Fine. Let's do it. Because I want it to go on. By the way, I still have the video, Northfield. I still have the video of you letting them play that vile music. So we're going to make sure that all that is played and all the past footage that I have is played. So we know that you just don't like our message. You hate the gospel and you want the perverts to say anything they want to. And you want them to be able to say all that, but you want to shut us down. Well, we're going to see how that works in court then, I guess. I guess we'll see how that works there. Because I at least want it on record that you're a town full of perverts that are okay with sexually explicit songs in great detail, which is nothing more than porn. We'll see. And then it'll go on record that this is who you people are. Man, I was not planning on talking about that. It did get me fired up, though. Absolutely. So we'll see what happens. But I'm getting tired of being threatened by the Northfield police that they're going to give me a ticket and cite me for something. And they're going to cite me for using amps when they let everybody shut us down. No, we're not doing that anymore. We are not playing that game anymore. We are not. So we're going to make sure we're going to make sure. We're going to make sure that that's an even playing field from that standpoint. Because every time they let them shout us down, they let them heckle us down, they let them surround us and do all those things, and we are basically like we're blocked out. Well, we're not. So we're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord's face. We're going to have God's hand and God's power on it. And then we're going to go out there and we're going to preach. And if they bring their things to shut us down, if they bring their heckler's veto to shut us down, well, then we're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to, in the words of Paul Pearson, we're going to crank that thing up. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring that hailer out and we're going to crank it up. That's what we're going to do. Plain and simple. That's the way it is. So I don't have a problem telegraphing that. I want all the cookies to be on the table so everybody can reach them. All right. I want everybody to know that's exactly what we're going to do. Because before I let those Fruit Loops do that, right? Shut me down, shut us down so we can't preach the gospel. We have to shut up. Look, I'm not a politician. I'm not politicking. I never thought I was going to be popular. Well, maybe I thought maybe a little bit I might have been. but I never thought about it that way. So, I mean, before I just let them, so they could burn out our voices and we can't even be heard, so nobody hears the gospel. No, we're not doing that. We're not playing that game. Because that's what those kids get away with all the time. Because the police don't stop them, and then they let them have this. And I was like, well, if you turn that on, I'm turning this on. Well, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. Okay, go ahead and do it. Quit talking about it, then, and just do it. Right? Way it goes. So, all right. Well, there we go. That was an exciting rant, wasn't it? This is why I don't have a voice. This is why I keep losing my voice. I get so fired up, I get so excited, and then here's what happens. Oh, there goes his voice. Anyway, I'm ready, man. I don't know what, man. I was feeling pretty. I was dragging for a while there. That's it, for some reason. The Lord just used that to get me going, man. I'm just, we're gonna deal with it. Jody Hammond, you can't take a break. You can't take a break from the broadcast. We charge extra for that if you take a break. Can't do that. You gotta keep listening. Anyway, so we're going to get into where that endurance comes from, right? We need that Christian endurance. We all do. We need it. So let's see here. We better get to our lesson here. See if you guys are ready, guys and gals and the rest of you. We are going to do a little bit here. Oops. Caps lock on. There we go. We are going to talk about endurance. You know what? All of God's children need endurance, Christian endurance. They need spiritual endurance. Because with spiritual endurance, what happens is if your body around you is failing, God sustains and strengthens your spirit. That's what he does. You know, I could... I could put the secret outline over here. Should I do that? I could. This is the secret outline. You know, I do charge extra for the... I charge double to reveal the secret outline. I do. So, a double charge of this would still be zero. But it is a double charge. All right. I don't know if you can handle the sophistication of this fancy outline here. I don't know if you can handle it, but you might be able to. You might be able to handle a little bit, but I put it in big letters, in big bold for those that are half blind. So you can see it a lot easier. Amen? All right? All right. Now here we go. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. The first thing, the first thing that you and I need to remember, that no matter what, you and I are called to endure. The Bible says for us, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Whatever God asks you and I to endure as Christian soldiers, God's endurance, God's mercy endureth forever. Our trials are only temporal. God's mercy is forever. And we have to remember that, that God's mercy far surpasses all of our trials. All of them. Jody Hammond said, I don't take breaks from listening, only reading. All right, Jody. All right. Well, that's acceptable, Jody. We'll make an exception for you. We will. We'll make an exception. Just as long as you're not checking out of the hotel. It's fine. All right. But we have to remember this. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. So think about this way. Even God's anger with us, when God is upset with us and he chastens us, when God deals with us in his anger is but for a moment. God's anger, sometimes you and I, we're not right with God. Sometimes you and I, we've done some things wrong. And his anger, when God is angry with us, it is but for a moment. God is only upset with us, in essence, for a moment, comparatively to his mercy. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God's anger endureth but a moment. God's favor, in God's favor is life. Our weeping may endure for a night. There may be, we may have a night of weeping here and there in our lives. We may have them. Those days and those times. But God will bring the morning. God will bring the sun and the light of his countenance. God will shine upon us. God will strengthen us. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth. Psalm 19:9. God's endurance is our endurance. God, that's where we get our endurance from, is from God. Psalm 19:9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. When you have the fear of the Lord, it lasts forever. It never leaves you. The true fear of the Lord, it's clean, enduring forever. When you fear God, when you reverence God, it's clean. There's a cleansing that comes with that. It's why you and I don't live in sin. It's why you and I don't live long in sin. Why? Because we fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalm 30, verse 5. For his anger endureth, but for a moment. Psalm 52, 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. See, God's goodness, the goodness of the Lord, endureth continually. Your trial will not last forever. The things that you and I go through will not last forever. Look at this. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Those that fear the Lord, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. I was no longer confined, he said. I was no longer cornered, but God set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about, yea, they compass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy is greater than all of our trials. God's mercy is greater than everything you and I are going through. God's mercy trumps and overrides all things that you and I are called to endure. I think this is interesting. The number 40 in the scripture is the number of Christian trials. So over and over again, Christians have that number 40 illustrates Moses was 40 days and 40 nights, 40 years through the wilderness they traveled, right? Their wilderness journeys, they traveled 40 days. It's a picture of trials, right? Over and over again, 40 days, 40 nights, 40 years. That number 40. But you know something? The number of times the Bible says his mercy endureth forever is 41 times. One more than all my trials. Surpasses all of my trials. God's mercy, God's endurance. God is never wore out. God is never tired. God's mercy is never tired. God's mercy endureth forever. God is never tired. God is never wore out. God is never at his wit's end. Because his mercy endureth forever. God, his mercy far surpasses anything. So when you and I need endurance, we are really asking for the mercy of God. It shows us, the scriptures show us that and prove to us that the Lord's mercy is sovereign and great over all my trials, over anything that I would go through. That's why you and I can endure as Christian soldiers. That's why we can endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. We never know what way that hardness is going to come. It can come internally. It can come externally. It can come through satanic fiery darts of the wicked. It can come through temptations of sin. It can come through many things. We don't know all those things, but what we do know is that God promises that his mercy endureth forever. That God is able to keep us through all of those things, that God is able to keep us in all our ways. That's why as Christian soldiers, when we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, we are well able to endure those hardships and those hard things. Why? Because his mercy endureth forever. That's why. Not because you're such a strong soldier. Not because you never fail. Not because you've been saved a long time. But because of God's mercy. All of our strength to fight in this life for the Lord, all of our strength, all of our courage, all of our encouragement to breathe courage into someone, all of that must come from God's mercy. He is the source of all comfort and strength for his people. When they are in need, they go to God. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says this in chapter 4, verse number 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Look what he said here. As we have received mercy, we faint not. So how do you and I continue on? How do you and I continue to be strengthened in all might? How do we continue on? How does the ministry continue on? Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Mercy. We receive it of the Lord. That's how Paul said, the only way that he got through it. Paul couldn't depend on him being a Pharisee. He couldn't depend on how good he was at everything, how much of a great manager he was, how he was a dynamic communicator. As we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All we know of Jesus. We know from Jesus and through Jesus. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. We have something to preach because we've been saved from something. We've been saved from sin and from self and from destruction. And the light has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the power of God. For God. It's God that does that. When someone is lost, it's God that shows them they're lost in dead condition. They have no power over sin. They have no power in their life to walk with God. They cannot have a healthy walk with God. They cannot grow in grace. They cannot do it. Why? Because they're not saved. We're not talking about just doubts and fears. Everybody has those. Everybody, assurances are going to go up and down. But you know the one thing that God showed me? My assurances have went up and down in my Christian life. But what hasn't changed is God keeping me. God keeping me from evil. God keeping me from sin. God preserving me and giving me his power throughout all those things. Man, I've had struggles like you wouldn't believe in my mind and heart. But it is God that keeps the ship afloat. It is God that strengthens his children through all doubts and fears and everything else. Through depression's dark night. Right? For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Paul said it again in the same chapter. For which cause we faint not. Paul said spiritually he did not faint under it all. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, man, this flesh can fall apart. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The inward man is strengthened through all trials, through all tribulation. God has not given over us over to sin. God has not given us over to wickedness. God has not given us over to the flesh and the devil and the world. Strengthened in all might. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Our light afflicts. Remember that. God's mercy endureth forever. Our light affliction is but for a moment. The afflictions that we suffer in this life are but for a moment compared to the eternity of mercy that is found in God. That's something that we have to remember. That's something that we have to hold to. That's something that we have to trust the Lord for. God's mercy. Our afflictions are light, which is but for a moment. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Even your afflictions that you are called to endure and can endure for the gospel's sake and can endure because of the mercy of God, that you can endure, they worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Because they're bigger than just this life. God sends his children through afflictions to teach them and train them and make them ready for heaven. That's why he does it. There's a purpose for it. There's a purpose for all the doubts and the fears and the struggles and the trials and the heartaches and the pain and everything else that you go through. For the depressions and the desertions and the things that you battle. There is a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory ahead for us. There's a reason for it. And I know what you're thinking right now. The same thing I think sometimes. Why in the world do I got to go through this? Why do I have to go through this? I mean, couldn't I just have like a different light affliction? Why don't you give me Jody Hammond's light afflictions? Why don't you give me Carl Winters' light afflictions? I don't like mine. Can I trade my light afflictions for Carl's light afflictions? Can I trade him for Jody Hammond's light afflictions? Can I trade him for somebody else's light afflictions? No. See, you and I have the exact afflictions that we need. We have the exact ones that we need. See, if I had somebody else's, they wouldn't be afflictions. God prescribes them perfectly for us. God prescribes those afflictions that we go through perfectly for you and I. They are, to a T, perfect afflictions for you and I to go through. They are. Perfect. They are absolutely perfect. Perfectly designed for us. And God grows us through them. And I have to remember this, and I'll explain it to you too, that you have to remember this. You are not victims of circumstance. You are not victims of circumstance. I am not a victim of circumstance. I am not a prisoner of circumstance. I am a prisoner of the Lord, but I am not a prisoner of circumstances. God has specifically allowed them, and he has specifically given me those things because I need them. That is not fun to hear. I want to hear how Carl needs those things. I want to hear how Misty needs those things. I want to hear how Army Girl for Christ needs those things. I don't want to hear how I need those things. But I do. I do. And you're the same way if you'll be truthful. The things that you face and that you go through, you would look at them as if, man, I don't want those. I don't want to go through those things. But the Bible says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, you and I don't know what God is doing. We think we do. When we have battles in our lives and our hearts, maybe you suffer from depression or discouragement and anxiety and PTSD and all kinds of other things, right? You suffer from those things and you think, I suffer from some of those things, post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, it can hit me at any time. My whole brain that circuit can just melt down. Most of the time, no one ever knows it happens. But me, I know it happens and God knows it happens. And it leads me to question everything and have no confidence and all those things. And it literally melts my brain down. I can't say it any other way but that way. And sometimes I'm like, I wonder why God gave that to me. I know why he did, but my mind goes back and it starts to regress about things and starts to go back through there and say, you know what? Why do I have to have this? Why do I have to be this way? Why do I have to be this way? Why can't my brain just be normal like they used to be? Why do they have to be this way? Why do I have to go through this? Especially when it flares up at the most inconvenient times necessary ever. Why does it have to happen? I remember reading in sermons, Spurgeon's, I think it was Spurgeon's Sorrows, or maybe it was the other one, I can't remember, but in that book, Spurgeon, he was standing up and he was getting, this was 20 years after his, the Surrey Garden tragedy that took place, the stampede that took place, where eight people died, when he was preaching. And he was gone for like 3 weeks from the pulpit, came back, and anyway, he stood up 20 years later. He was standing in front of this crowd, and he was getting ready to preach. And then all of a sudden, his mind. Yep, that circuit burned. Right? That circuit just burned off. Right? And that's what he went through. And I know what that's like. I've had it happen. And you wonder, you know why? You know why? For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Angie K asked the question, are there any books about women who are saved with mental health mind things? I don't know, but it really doesn't matter if it's a woman or a man. The same truth is there. The same exact truth is there. The same exact challenges are there for those that suffer from those things. But Shirley Starr has some good books about some of those things, you know, that people deal with. You can ask Hannah about that. Aaron says, it don't seem light. Yep. Well, the only way it's heavier is when you don't go to the Lord and get the strength that you need, then it seems heavy. But look what he says here. See, it's heavy when you're focused on it. When you are looking, when your eyes are looking on the light affliction. Look what he says in verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Remember, Jesus, when he was suffering, it says that he looked for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame. Where your eyes are. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look at Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. If you would have that endurance, then you need to, number one, you need to give thanks unto the Lord. Number one, you know where the source of that endurance is. The source of that endurance. The source of that endurance is found in Christ. Number two, you're to give thanks unto the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Number three, you're to review the goodness of God. That's what David is doing here. He's reviewing the goodness of God. To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. He is reciting the wonderful works of God. Why is he doing that? Because it encourages his heart and gives him endurance because of God's goodness. He remembers the goodness of God. To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. You see how he is going through and he is listing every good thing that shows God's mercy and that it endureth forever. He's actively, proactively doing that to draw strength from it. He's reminding himself of the goodness of God. To him that stretched out the earth, the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his hosts in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. The giant kings, right? Those giant kings of the land and those that would take over and dominate and destroy us, for his mercy endureth forever. David is focused on the right thing. He is focused on the mercy of God and God's examples of his mercy, that it endureth forever. You see, God didn't do all those things because Israel, because they were so good. Because they never sinned. Because they were always positive and always had a great look on life. And they were always, and they always did the right thing. No, God did those things because his mercy endureth forever. God meets your needs and God takes care of you because his mercy endureth forever. If you have repented and put your faith and trust in Christ, then you have God's mercy. If you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you saw your lost condition before God, bowed the knee and trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, turn to him and believe the gospel. Believe that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again from the dead. It's as simple as that, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's not because they were good people. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is God's grace. It is God's mercy. Sion, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy endures, therefore, because it endureth forever, endureth continually. We are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. First Corinthians 13 talks about charity. And it says charity endureth all things. See, when you have the love of God in your heart, you are able to endure all things. You are able to endure all the things that come your way, all the trials that come your way. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, tells us, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Then he tells us how to do that. He says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen to be a soldier." So you and I are to endure hardness. Now these are the pastoral epistles. So narrowly speaking, he is speaking to Timothy, who is a man of God, who he is training in the ministry, and he's telling Timothy that he needs to endure hardness as a good soldier. Timothy was discouraged. Timothy was distraught at times. Timothy would get depressed at times. I've got to turn that AC down. Hold on a second. Cold in here, man. Anyway, Timothy would get discouraged at times. He would get down at times. So then Paul writes him to encourage him. "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier, Timothy." You're at war. And you and I, as Christians, we're at war. Not just when we're doing all the evangelism and the things that we're doing, but our Christian life is a war. It is a battle. It is a war that rages on. It's not some charismatic, spooky warfare, but it's everyday Christian living. It's treating your wife and children good. It's treating your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ right. It's paying your bills. It's being a good example, being a good mom, being a good dad, being a child that obeys their parents. It's walking by faith and living for God every day. It's the fruit of the Spirit being shown in our lives and our hearts every day. It's living the Christian life every day. It's walking by faith every day. It's abstaining from all appearance of evil. It's letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's letting brotherly love continue. It's not letting sin reign in your mortal body that you should fulfill the lust thereof. Everyday Christian living. Everyday living for Christ. Everyday doing my duty. I'm going to tell you what. I'll tell you what. Let me tell you something, friend. There's a lot of people that I know, and I mean professing Christians. Husbands and mothers and everybody else, that you got to get up every day. And I'll tell you what. Some of you aren't used to responsibility. You woke up and you found yourself, "Oh my goodness, I'm married and I have children and I have responsibilities and I got to live for Christ every day. I can't run away. I don't get to run away and stop being mom and stop being dad and stop being a husband. And stop being a godly wife." But I got to actually live for God every day. I got to fulfill my responsibility as a child of God, as a mother, as a father, as a child, as a husband, as a wife. I got to love people around me. I don't get to run off and act like a jackass. I actually have to obey. I actually have to follow the Lord. I got to stop being a rebellious punk and I got to live for God. I got to be obedient and surrender my life to the Lord and do things that my flesh isn't comfortable with. Because my whole life, I lived it my own way. And I did my own thing. Yeah. And now I have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I got to walk with God now. I got to have a walk with God, an actual real walk with God. And I got to love people that are around me. Right? I can't just go off and do my own thing and live my own life and be my own man. No, I'm bought and paid for with a price. See, that'll wake you up right there. You'll wake up one day and realize with life that the honeymoon's over and it's really living for Christ. There's people that they get saved and they get saved, right? And man, they're in the honeymoon stage of their salvation. Right? And the honeymoon of salvation is over now. And now it's actually real work. Now I got to get up and live for God every day. Now the honeymoon's over. There's actually trials and tribulations with this life. There's actually a cost to being a disciple. It's not some Apostle Catherine Crick phony stuff. Now it's actually living for God every day. Now God really cares about my character, whether I treat my wife good, my children good, my family good, my church good, my brothers and sisters good, other people well. Right. And where do I get the endurance to do that? I get it from Christ. I get it from Christ, from his mercy enduring forever. That's where I get it from. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. There's a lawful striving according to the scriptures. Second Timothy 3:10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith. Look what Paul is saying. He's telling Timothy, he's saying, look, thou hast fully known my doctrine. My manner of life. How I live my life every day. Man, I'll take Christianity starts at home. If you aren't good to people around you, if you aren't good to your wife and your children, if you aren't good to your husband and your children, you aren't good to anybody. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose. Paul, what was his purpose? Christ was his purpose. His faith. He said, thou hast fully known my faith. You can know somebody's faith? Yes, you can. You see it in them. You see it. You see God working in them. My long suffering, Paul said. Thou hast fully known my long suffering. By the way, these are fruit of the Spirit. But thou hast fully known my long suffering. My charity. Paul was long suffering. I'll tell you what, man. God deals with me a lot with that. And has over the years. That's one of the reasons why God gave me a lot gave me that thorn in the flesh, that PTSD, that God gave me that. It's one of the reasons. So I would be long-suffering and I would be patient. That I would learn to be long-suffering with others. I was a pretty no-nonsense soldier. A pretty no-nonsense general for many years. But God taught me a lot of things by allowing me to suffer. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. You know, it's funny. The old Baptists used to talk about that in their qualifications for a bishop, too. The Bible talks about being patient. But he talked about that you bear long with their infirmities. That you suffer long with them. It's one of the things that God deals with pastors about is being long-suffering. Paul goes on to talk about persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch and Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions? I endured. See, Paul's not ashamed to talk about his infirmities or his persecutions, the things that he went through for the Lord. And I'm not shy about talking about them either. Because a lot of my enemies put me through a lot of things. A lot of people that said they were my friends put me through a lot of things that turned out to be enemies. Paul wrote about them and he talked about them, and I'm going to talk about them. Because it's real. Because it happened. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. Paul endured those things. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. You know, one thing God shows me, and sometimes when my mind wants to go back and when my heart wants to go back and retry everything and feel sorry for myself or just hurt or, you know, go back in and think about those things that befell me along the way, God reminds me that out of them all, I delivered you. Out of them all, I delivered you. Not one of those men were able to take the ministry down. Not one of those men were able to do that by God's grace. Because out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yea, says Paul, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Boy, don't I know this one. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Man, I'm telling you what. Bunch of nuts, man. I'll tell you, I've had them contact me, people that used to go here and be here, and they're getting nuttier and nuttier. They turn their back on the Lord, they're deceived, and they're being deceived, and they're waxing worse and worse. Why? They're evil men and seducers, that's why. Because that's what they do. That's exactly what they do. They wax worse and worse. Paul says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The word of God, that's where we get God's mercy endures forever, and where we learn about that is the Bible. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 5, talks about endurance. Look what he says here. But watch thou in all things. Keep your eyes open, preacher. Watch your back. Oh, I love it. He says, watch your back, preacher. Watch. Watch thou in all things. See, that's a warning. That's a warning to God, or from God. That's a warning from God to the preacher there, inspiration through the inspiration of the scriptures there. But watch thou in all things. Keep your eyes open, preacher. Endure afflictions. That's a command of God. For all of us, for the pastor also, especially though, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Keep your eyes open while you're serving me. Be sober-minded. Watch. Put a watch on your heart. Put a watch around you. Do the work of an evangelist. Keep preaching the gospel. Preach it to a lost and dead world. Get out there and preach it. Make full proof of thy ministry. Paul said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. This is his dying manifesto. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. Look what he says here. He warns him. When he's talking about enduring afflictions, he's just going to remind some people. He's going to remind Timothy of some things. He says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Pastors are going to have their Demases that forsake them for the love of the world. Right? For the love of the world, they're going to forsake. Demas hath forsaken me. I preached a message many years ago called The Demise of Demas. It was called The Demise of Demas. And talked about that. Talked about Demas forsaking Paul. You look at Demas in the scriptures all the way through. It's pretty amazing, actually. But anyway, that's in there as well. Let's see. He says, and is departed to Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. You know, here's the thing about it. Here's the thing about Mark. You know, Paul was surprised with Mark, because Mark actually became profitable. Early on in his ministry, Paul didn't have very much compassion for Mark. God taught Paul compassion after that thorn in the flesh. He taught him to be compassionate. He taught him to be that way. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You're supposed to be pressing on the future, moving forward. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Christ endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, again, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. If you would be strengthened, then you should consider what Christ went through. You should consider Christ, the contradictions of sinners that he went through. Lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Consider the afflictions, the contradiction that Christ suffered for his Christian, to obey the Father, to do the will of God. Consider it. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Look at this. There's two things of endurance that was talked about. Enduring as Christ endured. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. The very things that you and I go through, the enduring things, the things that we must endure, they're chastening of the Lord, and we must endure them. We endure them by God's grace, knowing Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, the deepness of the atonement, the strength of the atonement, the strength of what Jesus has done for us. And we are chastened of the Lord because we are not bastards, we are sons. James chapter 1, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There is a crown. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. By the way, if you love Christ, you'll endure temptation. And we do it by his grace. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. This is the trials of your faith. That's what he's talking about. The trying of our faith that worketh patience. We are tried. Our faith must be tried. It must be tried in the fire to prove that it is legitimate, to prove that it is real, to prove that it is of God. We must be tried in the furnace of affliction. We must be tried. Our faith must be tried. Faith must be tried. It must be. To be proven, it must be tried. If it is not tried, then it will be found wanting. It must be tried. James chapter 5, take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Our patience is we are tried, and it worketh patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. We must endure all things for Christ's sake. We must endure those things, and we do it because God's mercy endureth forever. He is our strength. He is our source of endurance. God never runs out of breath because the Spirit of God is eternal. And when he breathed into us, our nostrils, the breath of life, man became a living soul. And when he breathes his Spirit into us by salvation in Jesus Christ, when he breathed that in, his Spirit into us, that's why we are strengthened in all might. The inner man. That's how we know. Amen. That's how we know the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how we know that God is working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it will not feel good to the flesh. It will not feel good to the flesh. The way it is, friend. The way it'll be on this side. Amen? That's the way it'll be until we go home.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest all succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist has rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to his word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
Savior, I come to thee. I need thee every hour. Stay.
power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to to thee.
Amen. All right, everybody. God bless you all. And I hope you learned some things. I hope it encouraged your heart today and helped you with some things in the scriptures. We rejoice in that God would use that to strengthen your heart as a believer in Christ. And if you're not a believer, that you would become a believer in Christ today and be supernaturally changed by the Spirit of God. But you that are children of God, there's a lot there for us to learn and to grow by. Pray for our ministry. We've got a lot going on. So just please pray for us as we continue to serve the Lord and continue to bring the truth of the gospel to people. And pray for us, this heavy schedule that we have. I'll be preaching tonight at 7:45 p.m. Central Time on sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. That's our live service, live preaching. Also, we'll be preaching this weekend at the state fair. We'll be preaching Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There, please pray for us, and we'll be broadcasting live. We'll have long streams, Lord willing, there for, you know, 2 or 3 hours, hour and a half at a time. We'll have some long streams there, so you pray for us about that. If the Lord would lay it on your heart to give to our ministry, you could PayPal us at salvationpreacher@gmail.com, or you could mail us a check. It's down here, 1030 South Highway 3, Northfield, Minnesota, 55057. Or you could do Venmo, you could do Apple Pay, you could do Coinbase, cryptocurrency, whatever the Lord leads you to do, and all that good stuff. As the Lord leads, you go ahead and do that. And if it's to pray for us, well, we appreciate that. And you could pray that somebody else, God would use them to give to the ministry to be a blessing to us as well. All right, everybody, I'm going to get out of here. I got to go do some praying and walking. Appreciate you being on here and hope it was a blessing to you.